Welcome to the UK Fantasy Football Show, Goal's weekly podcast that discusses many a football fan's favourite pastime. We'll be reacting to how our teams did in Game Week 8, having a look at Manchester City's season so far, and revealing our teams for Game Week 9. This week, Dave, Sam and I are joined by Goal's marketing manager, Paul Raymond. How are you, Paul?
I'm good.
How's your fantasy team doing this season?
Not quite so good.
Not quite so good. How many points are you on?
365.
That is pretty poor.
It's not. It's not terrible.
I mean,
he's turned up.
It's the worst. It is the worst in our
life. It's fine defining terrible, but yeah, 365.
That's about 44 points per week.
I don't think I've had many that have been terrible weeks. I've just had none which are particularly great, which doesn't help.
Solidly mediocre.
I think what I worked out, because I did a bit of research, as you said, and I think my problem was I bought into the hype train on too many players.
So, which hype trains are you
doing? Well, quite a lot of hype trains. It's basically like the hype station.
All of them.
And just late to everyone.
Just kept jumping on all these hype trains and going everywhere. So I was relying on, first of all, on Wan-Bissaka.
That's not much of a hype
train. Why are you relying on a fullback?
Because my idea was, though, he's going to get forward. He's going to set stuff up. Hasn't happened. So I thought, right, let's have a look. How did he do last season? 35 games, 3 assists. So I don't know where I got the idea on that he was some sort of like wing back setting up machine, because that isn't the case. And similar with Zinchenko as well, who we'll probably touch on later on anyway with the City talk.
Neither of those are hype trains, though.
Just didn't get in on. Well, then there were keepers. So I've been through 3 goalkeepers.
You hussy. Right.
not allowed a choice. So I start with Alisson, like any sensible person would.
Right.
He got injured. So I jumped across to Kasper Schmeichel. Then Leicester had a few difficult games. So I thought, right, I go for De Gea. Well, United had what looked like some easy ones. Newcastle,
etc. No such thing as an easy match for Man United.
Did you see, now De Gea's injured.
Segway, did you see how good Kasper Schmeichel was midweek?
I didn't, no.
Unbelievable saves. Better than his dad.
So I might be going back to Kasper Schmeichel.
Yeah.
So all of that kind of chopping and changing.
It
means
sounds a bit
I've
like
got to kind of
a bit
subs.
Of panicking going on.
That well, I don't have much choice when they get injured. I'm kind of stuck.
Are you a panicker, Paul?
I am with goalkeepers. Up front, I've been through strikers.
I am with goalkeepers. I'm strikers.
Yeah. It's my midfield's been the only one that's been half decent. I had, I started with, I had Aguero. He's been there since
he's
the beginning.
He's a striker, yeah.
Yeah, so he's been fine. I had Hernandez, who obviously got sold, so that didn't help.
Why did you have Hernandez? Is that just because?
It was quite cheap, and I thought West Ham might do it right this season, which they are. Just he isn't part of the team that's doing that.
I thought it might be because you were trying to get an interview with him at the start of the season. That was your way of luring him.
Suck up to him a little bit.
Have you? You're in my team.
No, and he scored like the second game or like quite early for West Ham. So I thought, there we go. This might be quite good for him. Then he got shipped out. So then I went and put in Keane, who I thought would do well with Everton. But Everton thought otherwise. Didn't give him any games. Jumped on the Pookie train.
Were you late to that train?
Yep, then everyone worked out how to stop him. So I was like, right, Excellent. So that's a pointless one. And he's still on my team. So I would sub him out this week, but I need to sub out all the other guys as well. So I think I'm playing some of these little
Have you played your wild card yet?
No, I'm going to just start again.
As the wild card oracle of this room, I would say drop that hammer.
You were the first to use it, weren't you?
Yeah.
All the way back in what, game week? 3, 4?
Yeah, between 2 and 3, I dropped it.
Wow.
Fear, self-preservation.
Turned your season around, though.
It's the jungle cat in me coming out, I think. Fight or flight.
It did turn your season around, and you're still top on 440 points. You got 52 points in the last game week, which isn't so bad.
Yeah, I was really pleased with that. I wasn't expecting great things, and I thought I was just happy with 52 as like a par score. But then what really changed my mind was how poorly everyone else did in the game. Like the average was 36.
Yeah.
The high points was 50. Like a normal week average is what, like 48, 55. So 36 is bad. So yeah, that shot me up to 730,000th in the world now.
It must have been a lot of people captaining Man City players. Yeah. What did that, or just having Man City players, because not a lot of those players got a lot of points. And yeah, you look at, I mean, there were plenty of players who, you know, people have, they got points. Mane got a load of points. Abraham got a load of points, I guess.
It was my subs that saved the day. I had,
again.
Yep, I had three. Well, you seem like it's a bad thing that I've picked a good squad. I had three Man City players, and one of them was captain. So you can class that as four Man City players, and they got me a total of 4 points. Zinchenko didn't play. De Bruyne.
No, Zinchenko came on and then proceeded to get 0 points anyway because they conceded two goals in the second half.
Sterling, two, captain, four. De Bruyne didn't play. So sad times. But Lundstrom came on, five. Caddy came on, seven. And Ayew didn't make it on and got nine.
Was he a top scorer then? Yeah. Oh, just beneath Mane, yeah. Still some good bench points right there. I think the difference mainly between mine and your team this week then is pretty much just the captain. Because I had Mane as well, but I captained him. So I got 67 points. So I was very pleased.
That's a masterstroke.
That is a haul.
It's all about the captain there. I got some other players who got some decent points. I have Tammy Abraham as well. Got me eight. Nick Pope is my hero in goal. Got me a few points. But Dunk the Hunk was the one who really saved the day for me. He came off my bench. Did not expect points against Spurs, but I think were they away to Spurs as well? Or I can't remember.
They were home.
But still, you know, 3-0.
I know.
It's a big result.
Massive.
Spurs look a little bit all over the place at the moment, don't they?
I know. This game week, I was looking at transfers and I was thinking, shall I put Son in? Like, are Spurs going to turn it around a bit? But I just don't have the belief. I don't think you can really gamble that much at this stage in the fantasy football season. You need to be looking at the people who are getting the points on the board and the teams that are in form and you know you're going to get points from.
One of my outside choices recently has been James Milner, who was my highest scorer last week. He scored 13 of my impressive 36 points.
He scored 13 points? Milner 13 points.
He was in the dream team this week.
Nice.
Squeezed
But
in
he's
there.
Just in and out of the Liverpool team, isn't he? So,
as I say, it's a very poor squad.
It was an interesting looking dream team this week, the fantasy football one. There were some unfamiliar faces in there. Adama Traore, I think, was one of the ones who got 16 points.
Boom.
To the point I'm very tempted to put him in, but I just think it's one of those ones.
No, don't do it.
The flash in the pan week and you get tempted by it. Matty Longstaff got 10 points. Newcastle hero.
Absolutely.
You got Longstaffed, did Man United, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, how old's Matty Longstaff? 19?
In that region, yeah.
Him and his brother owned United.
Got to love a good brother combo.
Absolutely, and I love their post-match interview. I've loved the Snapchat pictures you've seen of Matty Longstaff when he was like 13, crying over splitting up with his missus, and now he's absolutely rifling it in the bottom corner and full of a capacity at St. James's Park.
Yeah.
He's laughing now.
And we talked about Man United on the last episode and their current mess. But we did think, you know, Newcastle, it's one of the fixtures you might want in that sort of melee. But they did not come out of it very well, did they? At all, really?
No, they just didn't.
They're fragile at the United. It's like they, at that point in the game as well, before Longstaff scored, they were just starting to attack a bit more. And
I don't know if it's fragile
mentality-wise, isn't it?
I would say impotent. So yeah, they just don't look like they're going to score. You can almost draw comparisons with Tottenham as well and their poor form. England midweek, Rashford looked like that Mbappe bettering wide player. I used to think was possible, you know, did the defender cut in, smashed it in the roof of the net. It was a great goal. And also Kane looked, I mean, it was Bulgaria, but he looked superb.
That's like a friendly for those Premier League players to find a bit of form, isn't it? I mean, it's a great confidence builder match for them. I mean, they must look at it in that way. Yeah. I've got an opportunity to play against guys who are nowhere near my level to actually build a bit of confidence. And that's the kind of thing Rashford should be playing like that. But he's not going to be. He's not being given that kind of time and space in the Premier League, is he?
No, and you know, obviously, club teams are always better than international teams, just in the way they play, because they get to play with each other and train with each other week in, week out, day in, day out. But Rashford looked far better playing for England than United. So it just makes me think that obviously there's a big problem at United. Mm. You know, if you need to stick him back out on the left to get the best out of him, do it.
You would just stick down the middle.
I don't know. I don't come to this with all the answers. I don't know. Martial, hope we'll find out in the next day or so with Ollie's press conference whether he's back. You could bring Sanchez back. He's injured now, isn't he?
Can't even do that.
Mason Greenwood. Oh, no. If football's rubbish. Anyway, change the subject.
The whole game was overshadowed by all the racist abuse that went on in the match itself anyway, wasn't it, really? I mean, Bulgaria weren't any kind of opponent on the field, were they at all?
No, it was a good way to bounce back that result after the previous one as well. I thought everyone had gone a bit overboard with the England criticism the week before.
Yeah,
it was like, you've not lost in a qualifier for 10 years and just lost, what, 2-1 against Czech Republic, who, away from home, one of the better teams in the group. I don't know.
Qualifying's not really our problem, though, is it? It's always another reason why I kind of lose interest when England play playing a qualifiers. It's when we get to the business end that things used to, and last time's obviously a bit different, fall apart.
Mm.
What did you think of Mings then? Because I have a lot of people singing his praises, played quite well alongside Maguire. Southgate's mixed up a lot of centre-backs, hasn't he, during his time?
Yeah, so we were
England manager.
We were looking before the set of matches, for the two matches of this international break, who would get into that England Euro 20 squad. And Mings wasn't one of the ones you'd put on that 23 list. But after this break, you would say he probably has, you know, etched his way in there. I think centre-back is one of the spots where people could definitely break in, because all of them are not necessarily that set. Like, you look at, I mean, Harry Maguire, you'd say, is probably pretty much the most set. But obviously, Man United's defence hasn't been great so far this season. You've got Keane in there, who's not really having a great season with Everton. Joe Gomez not really playing for Liverpool. Kyle Walker's been playing at centre-back a bit for them over the years, and, you know, he doesn't seem to necessarily be nailed on.
Yeah.
There's an opportunity to break in, and Mings has done a pretty good job of squeezing
him. Yeah, he has. I was looking at some stats earlier, actually, and Keane was one of the guys that came up highest on giving the ball away in his own half. Mm. I thought that's shocking, really, you know, in the Premier League this season. And I thought that's shocking, really, for a guy who's being selected as an England centre-back.
Well, Stones is the same, isn't he? Yeah, I look at John Stones and I think you're going to give that ball away.
Yeah, they look nervous on the ball. And I mean, Maguire's now he's playing for Man United, you can kind of feel that starting to mess with his form a little bit, the fact that he's in a team that the expectations are so much higher and there's a bit more weight on the shoulders there. I don't know, when I was watching him for England, I thought, is this a different Maguire we're seeing a bit here as well?
I don't think Man United's defence has been that bad this season.
It hasn't, actually, has it?
It's far, far, far better than it was last year, but it's not that bad. In fact, it goes far to say it's quite good. It's just that they've sort of nailed that half. It's the other half where, you know, they can't buy a goal. I didn't even bother checking this because it was just making me feel low. But apparently Rashford won goal of the season for September with a penalty, because that's the only goal we scored. Jesus Christ.
That's bleak. Funny. Very funny. Back to fantasy football then. We deviated a little there. In the public UK Fantasy Football League, the gap is continuing to close on league leader, long-time league leader as well, Alex Hammond, who's 39 points this week. I think it's quite representative of a lot of fantasy football managers who were dependent on Pookie in the first bit of the season, lived the dream for a little while, captaining him, smashing the points. And Norwich, due largely to injuries, have kind of fallen off the pace, and Pookie's been part of that nosedive. Yeah. So he only got 39 points this week. So there are now 12 players within 30 points of him. So the chase is on. I reckon this week could be the one where someone finally overtakes him. Yeah, finally. Alex has been living the dream up there, but
it's a shame it's not one of us, isn't it, that's competing with him at the top of the
crushing.
Yeah, I'm being critical of his picks here. He's still 100 points clear of any of us.
Yeah,
so he's still doing all right. Still doing all right. Listeners, you can join our league and test yourself against us all season long. The code to type in on the FPL website is NHC4WZ. Let's move on then. Each week, in between our game week review and preview, we're going to be tackling a topic that will be discussed among FPL managers far and wide. This week, our hot topic is Manchester City's melee. I was thinking about changing it, actually, to Colleen Rooney against Rebecca Vardy and doing like a little Agatha Christie section, but I just figured I'm not sure how to tie that to fantasy football. It would have been a tough 15 to 20 minutes. Fun.
Yeah, it's a long while, isn't it?
I mean, why?
I'm still not bored of it.
You know, it's impossible to be bored of it, in my opinion.
You can't assign points to it in some way or another.
It was the best day of Twitter this year.
I like how it unified
everything. Quite well on an international break, didn't it? I mean,
she timed
it well. Two players' wives who've got nothing else to do with football story. Or weren't famous before they met those players.
You don't seem that enamoured with the story as much.
No, don't really care, to be honest.
You don't really care. You must be one of the few that didn't care.
I know, yeah, which is amazing, but like I say, it's like, why should I be bothered?
Well, in that spirit then, we'll talk about Man City.
Let's keep it to football.
Their problems. What do we think is going wrong for them so far this season? So they're 8 games in and 8 points adrift to Liverpool.
I think there's multiple little, they're not all big issues, they're all just lots of little ones. It's like the Dave Brailsford incremental gains, but it's incremental messes or something like that. Actually, you can cut that bit out, mate.
Leave it in.
Shut up. I think Fernandinho is, and the whole Rodri element is a problem, because Rodri is not at Fernandinho's level, but has played, you know, obviously the vast majority of the games there. So he's still getting used to that role, and he's not as quick as shifting the play. And therefore, you know, the fact that the defence is in tatters at the moment, and Fernandinho is going to be playing back there even more. And that was already, I think that was already the plan this season anyway. It means Fernandinho is not going to play that role. He doesn't seem to like to play Gundogan there. So I think that in terms of getting the motor in and getting the ball out of defence, they've got a bit of an issue there. Mm. The fact that the people playing the ball out of defence are Nicolas Otamendi and A.N. Other is, again, another bit of an issue. So that sort of link that starts that whole movement of City has completely changed.
Do you think there's... I might be alone in this, to be honest. But do you guys think there's a bit of a problem with Pep Guardiola's sort of attitude towards defence and the priorities of his defence? Like, you think about Pep Guardiola teams since he joined the Premier League, let's say, right? They've never really had a defence that you can look at and say, that defence is good, or that defender is really good long-term. Like, any defender, even centre-backs, full-backs, whatever, in that team has never really shone, like, consistently.
What, Company?
Well, no, because he was injured.
He was injured one year, all the time.
His best moments were really beforehand.
But it says a lot that he's still that iconic Man City defender from this era.
And he was fourth best most of the time.
But I think with Company, he was one of those very few defenders that are around in the last few years that are the winners, that, you know, brought a lot more than just what they actually did from a skill set point of view. Like, Ramos is like one of my favourite players in the world. I love him because he's just a winner. Shithouse, but an absolute winner.
Yeah.
And I think Company had elements of that. And that's what always, like, you know, all great centre-back partnerships of days gone used to have one of those guys. They do not have that now. It's not John Stones. It certainly is not Otamendi. Laporte, not yet.
But even Laporte, I mean, you know, there was that time when they would always win matches with him starting in the team. But I felt like that was a little bit of an anomaly, in the same way as you could say that about Zinchenko over the 2019. They kept winning matches with him in the team. But was it because of him?
No, they just kept winning matches. No. That was just an innocent byproduct that they'd picked this one or two players. I think I mentioned it over the last couple of weeks. De Bruyne, any game he misses, City have either really struggled to win or have lost. And I know they obviously had a 98-point season last year without KDB for the vast majority of it. But this year, whether that's because he's come back in and he's making up for that Fernandinho-Rodri defence problem, he's beyond vital for them. He's absolutely, you know, you can go from winning 8-1 to losing 2-0 against Wolves at home. KDB's a difference, because he was phenomenal against Watford.
He was unplayable when he started so far for Man City this season. He's just totally been the difference, hasn't he?
Yeah, and that nonchalance of the goal, I think it was the eighth that he scored against Watford. You know, he'd put the ball on a plate for everyone else, and then he just thought, you know what, I fancy getting another 4 or 5 points for Sammy. Cuts inside, and it was just so lethargically smashing it into the roof of the net. Like, the ball was still rising.
It was like
terrific.
I could do this at any time in the match if I wanted. The way he hit it was just like, I could do this in my sleep.
Yeah, held his hands up, shrug of the shoulders, big fat wow, on we go. It was wonderful. So I think he's that important.
So essentially we're saying, like, if it's when Man City haven't got, when they're not attacking you and Kevin De Bruyne's not playing, they're kind of allowing the opposition to put a bit of pressure on their weak defence, and that's when they're getting exposed. When they haven't got someone like De Bruyne in there who's just actually, essentially, they're just going at you the whole game almost. If they haven't got that player in there, or maybe a couple of players like that, or they don't particularly play that way in the actual match itself, as soon as teams start to press their defence a little bit or get that opportunity, they're exposing some of the weakness that's there at the back.
Can I hit you with an XG stat?
Go on.
It's in a reverse XG stat, which I quite like. So
goals.
Their XG, no, it's their XG for shots against rather than for shots that they're actually taking themselves. So XG for shots against, Man City are bottom of the league.
Is that good or bad?
It means that that either two things are happening. Either one, that teams that they're playing against are just getting clear-cut chances.
So, but he's been bottom of the league, the worst place to be. Yes. Or is that, oh, okay.
So it basically means there's too many goals going in for the shots that they're facing.
Well, four of the nine goals they've conceded City so far this season have been from outside the area. So, I mean, that tells you that they're defending the area well enough, but there's obviously someone who's either not picking up outside the area or they're not expecting teams to be able to score from outside the area. But what I notice about the Premier League in general is most teams have got somebody in their team who is can absolutely smash one in from outside the area, because you have to have that option. Because a lot of the... let's not get this wrong, right? Manchester City have only... They've had three clean sheets so far this season, which is as most as anyone's had in the league as well. No one's really keeping clean sheets anyway. No one's defence is absolutely remarkable. So, I mean...
And they're a victim of their success last year as well. I mean, they are second to Liverpool, but Liverpool have won 8-8, which is...
Well, I think what does put a little twist on it is the fact that Liverpool have won 8-8. And I knew Liverpool would do well this year, but I thought it'd be flipped by this point. I thought City would just be a procession and Liverpool would just start to fade a little bit. So, you know, maybe the fact that City have lost two is just a bit more normal.
What I found interesting about Liverpool is that, unlike Man City, who've had like proper 10 out of 10 performances, Liverpool haven't really had that in the league. They've been like consistently 8 out of 10, like solid. You know, they sort of scraped past Sheffield United the other week. They've relied on some real late goals to win.
Yeah, scrooked it against Leicester, didn't they?
Yeah.
And that's probably better, I think. Just from a mentality perspective.
I think so.
You can just win.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how you do it. It's almost like the prime Fergie years.
Mm.
You always thought United were going to win, even if they were 1-2-0 down with 10-15 to go. You think, we're always going to win it.
Yeah,
I get the same feeling with Liverpool. They'll just find a goal from somewhere.
I seem to remember Man City doing that last season as well. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the exact games, but I seem to remember a few games they just scraped through. They got a late goal. You know, teams were managing to hold them off for the majority of the match, and then they just came up with something in the final.
Is that company goal? I remember the one towards the end.
That's
the
classic, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the classic, definitely.
Yeah, like Mane winning the penalty against Leicester. In my humble opinion, it was a terrible dive. But they got the penalty. They scored it. They get the points. So yeah, they're winning any which way they can.
Yeah. Can you guys see Liverpool beating Man City in November and keeping that gap and then extending that gap to, I don't know, could be at least 11 points at that point?
I think by that point, the gap, I think Liverpool will drop in between. I think they will, and yeah, red tinted specs. The Liverpool United match this weekend is exactly the kind of match where United put their backs up against the wall and somehow will scrawk a 2-1 victory. Same as like Leicester.
I think it'll be about 4-5-0 this weekend.
No, they won't. United won't win that much.
Yes, it's going to go one or the other way. I'm so convinced, though. I think that you'll get smashed.
You do say that, sure, right? Like, form goes out the window when it's a derby, though, doesn't it, in a match like that? It's
but you've got...
You would expect...
De Gea's out, right?
We don't know yet.
So say you're down to your substitute goalkeeper. Romeo.
Oh, yeah. National team goalkeeper.
Against Liverpool, I can't see you. I can't see you getting...
Liverpool, Schmitherpool, they'll be fine. So yeah, 2-1 United... Stick your mortgage on it.
And Spurs after that.
Yeah, so I think Liverpool will drop points. They might not get beaten, but they could. I think they will draw a couple. So by the time they play City, there'll be a 3 or 4 point gap.
I honestly think Man United away this weekend, the weekend after that, Tottenham at home, and then the weekend after that, Aston Villa away. Villa is the hardest match of those three. For me, for Liverpool, I think that is the hardest fixture. I think that they'll walk the other two. I think they'll beat Villa as well, to be honest, but... I just think that they'll still be, at least 8 points clear come November 10th. And then, heading into the international break of November? Daylight.
You might be right, but I think you're looking at it in like a bit of a linear way, like based on the teams that are doing well so far. I can see where Sam's coming from. Sometimes, especially when you get these two big teams meeting, you don't really know who's going to come out of top, even against the run of form.
Big teams? Liverpool and
Manchester United and Tottenham.
Oh, Paul's doing a joke.
Oh, sorry, was that?
That was Paul.
But I would expect Liverpool will start to drop a few points. And that in that game, Man City Liverpool, I think Man City would win it. I don't know why. I kind of feel like takes a bit of pressure off them. One of the things I said was remarkable about United, for instance, winning back-to-back titles, is that it's not always easy to then motivate a team to go again and win the title again. Such a long slog over a long season to actually do that year in, year out. Has there been a bit of a, do you feel like there's a bit of a lack of desire on the City front here?
Well, do you know what, that's Michael Jordan said that. The easiest title to win is your first one, because that's when you're so motivated and it gets progressively harder season after season after season. They've done it twice now.
I don't think it's necessarily, I mean, there's an element here of maybe demotivation, but I don't think it's that per se. I think it's the other way around. I think it's just that Liverpool are so motivated. Like, they're coming off the back of a Champions League season where they missed out on the Premier League title by a whisker on the last day of the season. And they didn't even do that badly. It was just Man City just wouldn't refuse to drop points at the end of the season.
They did 97 points. It's absurd, ridiculous. Yeah.
So they've got a real chip on their shoulder that they've got to prove themselves. And they've not won that league title yet. And, you know, that's kind of ridiculous when you think of some of the players they've had over the Premier League era. I think they just are very, very motivated. And at this point, I mean, you know, who knows what's going to happen. This time last year, or around Boxing Day, it looked like Liverpool wrapped it up and then they fell apart. But I think at this point, it looks like it's theirs.
For City, though, wouldn't they be more focused on the Champions League as well?
People say that, but
this season ended and Liverpool won the league, City won the Champions League, would both fans kind of walk out and go,
I think they'd both be happy, but I think whenever people say, oh, we're focused on the Champions League, that's...
I don't think you can focus on the Champions League.
It's possible, yeah.
It's too piecemeal, isn't it, across the season? It's a cup.
That's why we're focused on it, as in we won't bother with this, we just focus on that one. But if they go on and win it, are they going to be that bothered about winning the Premier League?
They're not, but it's a massive if, and they've never got, you know, even really close.
I can't see City winning the Champions League this season.
I can.
Can you?
Yeah. Could you have seen Liverpool last year? Could you have seen Spurs get into the
Liverpool
final?
Liverpool last year, they got to the final the year before.
I thought, yeah.
Spurs get into the final?
I would have said Spurs.
But Ajax doing so well. There's still some, I think City have got what it takes to get to the final and win it. But so have other teams as well, and as you're right.
It's a game
of two halves, isn't it, mate? someone could win it, someone else could.
What do we make of Man City players to get into your fantasy team then? Let's make it about fantasy football now. Like, who in that squad, because he rotates quite a lot, you say are the most valuable? Because I've got Aguero, but if I remember rightly, you two don't have Aguero. Paul does.
I've got Aguero, Sterling, and the aforementioned Zinchenko, who's going to wipe the whole lot going. Apart from Aguero and Sterling stay, I mean, madness to my album.
You're going to wipe the whole lot?
Apart from Aguero and Sterling.
Right, okay.
So you're playing your wild card?
Ooh, but I think I've got Van Dijk. Don't get rid of Van Dijk.
Just decide. Are you playing the wild card
anyway?
At least half will go.
So we think Paul is playing his wild card.
Oh yeah, playing my wild card.
Okay, there we go. I think De Bruyne is a must. I mean, I'm in a difficult spot with him because I had him from the first game of the season, and if I sell him now, I lose quite a lot of cash.
Mm. Just drop. Why would you say?
No humble brag.
There was absolutely nothing humble about that, Miles. But if last weekend I was like, I'll do a get him out to get someone in because I had Martial in red, De Bruyne potentially in red as well. I've got to keep him even if he gets injured for a few weeks. But he's City's best player. I don't know who else because of the rotation element. Yeah. I know Sterling was the hot property the first few weeks, but people are selling him now. He's dropped in price. He's not scored for God knows how long.
Yeah, he's not been in as hot form as he was it West Ham first game?
All right, well, we scored two games ago.
But it is very hit and miss because, you know, Mahrez has had some corkers.
Yeah, that's one in five for Sterling.
Bernardo Silva, he had a good game when you dropped him.
Bernardo Silva's got a hat-trick, didn't he?
Yeah.
I'm sticking with Sterling. I've got Sterling and Walker in my team.
I think Walker's a good shout. But then you don't know whether he's going to start blooding this 55 million fullback that he's bought and just kept on the bench.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about City's defence, didn't we? How much money have they spent on it?
Well, that's why I think it's so crazy. That's why I think that he's got a problem with his defensive tactics. Because I'm sorry, but all those players can't be flops. Like, statistically, you get a lot of flops when you're a big team. You sign a lot of players fail. But to get every single defender that they've signed recently to be not a successful defender seems a bit...
It's because they're playing together, though. So they're not bad players. It's just, can you get that many new guys together? And especially a defence has got to work together as a unit.
But that's why I think it's a tactical problem. It is a tactical problem.
I think it may be because they're asking a bit too much of them. Like, they have to be these ball-playing defenders who get everything right going forward. You know, every pass has to count. They can't give the ball away. They've got to then make sure they keep it tight at the back. They've got to protect the goalkeeper. You know, they've got to be everything, haven't they? And the pressure is on them as the last line of defence, obviously, before when teams are attacking them.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, midfield don't have that problem, but they're essentially midfielders and their defenders rolled into one, a lot of them. And we talked about it before with people like Kompany and Sergio Ramos. You've got to have massive personalities to be able to do that. And I don't think those personalities, you can't, you know, the few and far between, there's probably not a great deal of them around.
Every other top club in the world, you look at the defenders and you can pick out like a world-class player in that. Like, I mean, let's look at Van Dijk. You know, Liverpool signed Van Dijk and it turned him around, and now he's, you know, considered the best
big
in the world.
Big personality. He can take the weight on his shoulders, can't he?
Yeah, you mentioned Ramos for Real Madrid. There's Piqué for Barcelona. You know, all these big teams have those big players, but Man City just have never had that big defender. Mm-hmm. Or at least, you know, not in the Pep Guardiola era.
No.
Consistently.
Are we staying? So I've got Walker at the back, but are we staying? I'm going to stick with Sterling because, I mean,
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah,
I think
he's not been that bad.
He starts most games.
A couple of games without scoring.
Yeah,
one.
They've got three really easy fixtures. Well, comparatively easy fixtures coming up now.
I think that means he won't play in one of them.
Probably.
Good.
They've got two Champions League fixtures, I think, between now and the Liverpool game.
But they're both Atalanta, so you could drop them for them. Sorry, give him a break.
There's going to be rotation. For me, Aguero's in there because, I mean, even when he comes off the bench, he seems to score quite a lot.
Yeah.
And De Bruyne, you know, for the reason Sam has laid out, it's just impossible not to pick him in his form.
Aguero's quite expensive.
I dropped De Bruyne, by the way, because I thought I can't really afford for someone to be dropping points through being injured. So I wanted to get players in who I knew was going to get some points on the board. So last week I brought Mount in and I brought, I think I had Abraham already. I think I had two transfers. I can't remember who it was now, but I definitely brought Mount in and took De Bruyne out. So, and
that worked out.
Mount
right,
got 7 points. So, again, more points than I would have got if I'd left the injured player in there. So
can you get De Bruyne back in this week?
Is he back from injury now?
He's yellow, but he's expected to be back.
Yeah. No, he's not. He's not going back in. I'm going to leave it. I'm going to just leave Sterling in as. I have made a transfer. Are we coming around to that? Or
we're coming around to that. Hold your horses. We'll come back to you. Before we run through mine, Dave and Sam's changes, Paul will be revealing his 1 week wonder team. So he has to pick a team to get as many points as possible from this one game week. The high score remains 64 points. Charles Watts has held that for a while now. He came on quite early in the season and just no one's been able to topple him. Who have you picked to try and topple our Arsenal man?
Okay, you want the bench as well?
I want everyone, yeah.
Right, okay. So
just start with your team and then do the subs at the end.
Sure. Okay, well, up front. Tammy
no,
Abraham.
Start from the subs. Fucking goalkeeper.
Starts right, attack.
Sorry, because they're my best players. Right, in goal, left field, Vorm.
Okay,
so he's cheap as anything because he's Vorm, but presuming he starts, they should do all right. The next game, it's Watford, isn't it? So that should be an easy one for about, I think it's like 4.5 million a year. So that saved me a few quid. At the back, I've got Nathan Aki.
Okay.
Strong.
So home to Norwich. They have 10 goals, but 9 of them, I've got down here, were against Newcastle, Chelsea and City. And after that, they've kind of, obviously, after everyone worked out how to stop the Pookie train. David Luiz.
He got 15 points last week.
Did he?
Yeah.
Bang game.
Very well.
Wow. Yeah, there's a bit of a Chelsea theme going through this, which I only realised when I finished.
Chelsea so bias.
David Luiz. Virgil van Dijk, because United aren't going to score. And
good pick.
Big Virg. Alderweireld, pretty much the same reason as I've got Vorm in there, because I think Spurs, I know it all went a bit better.
You're going four at the back?
Four at the back.
Bold.
So in midfield, I've gone for Son, just because I think he's, for a midfielder as well. The way they rank these players in position always seems a little bit confusing to me. Jack Grealish.
Who Villa got this week? They've got...
Brighton.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Grealish could help out with a bit of that.
Some points here, I think.
According to Google, fourth most asked question about Jack Grealish is what product does he put in his hair?
Did you find...
Type in Jack Grealish, made a little bit of Jack Grealish research. Other questions asked about Jack Grealish. What product does he put in his hair?
What product does he put in his hair? It looks like a Brill Cream lad to me.
No idea.
Well, it does look like Brill
Cream.
We're
with him at the FIFA 20 launch, and before that,
you've just dropped a name down there, mate. Do you want to pick it up?
Yeah. Before we met him, he'd just done like a Hot Wings challenge and was sweating buckets. So are you saying
it's sweat?
Whatever it is that puts in his hair, it doesn't run. So it's some good stuff.
He puts in his hair...
I didn't actually click to find the answer.
It's a cliffhanger.
Oh, no. The answer Google gives you isn't actually the right result. It just says that fans of Boardwalk Empire might associate this look with Jimmy Darmody, who rocks it in the show. That's not giving me an answer at all. Google's failing me here. Maybe it's not being revealed. Maybe that's...
As a bit of a hair expert, I will say that it's either a Brill cream or a pomade. Pomades were very popular in the 1920s, and it is that kind of look.
Thank you, Dave. Okay. He's answered that mystery.
No problem.
Who else
could be a regular section.
Who else you got, Paul?
We've also got Mane, who once again is listed down as midfielder, which I always just think seems like good value to me.
Yes.
So he's banging one in against United. So at least 4-3-3. So up front, Jamie Vardy.
He's going to have a party.
He's going to have a party, despite the stick that the Burnley fans are going to give him.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to some of those chances.
So that's going to be worth, I mean, that's going to be worth tuning in for, isn't it? Wesley, once again, another Villa player. 4 goals this season, 2 in his last match. Brighton.
14 points last week he got, which pained me as someone who drops him, but there you go. Your last player in your team.
Tammy Abraham.
Tammy
Abraham. Just because he's scoring goals, so...
A good reason to pick him.
Yeah.
He has a whole 54 points so far this season, which is decent considering he got 2 points in his first 2 games. He's really coming to his own after that Super Cup heartache.
It's something to enjoy for as a Chelsea fan as well. I mean, this year is a complete anomaly. So it's nice to see players like him doing well. So yeah so he's up front with Wesley. And
who's on your bench?
Who's my bench? Stecklenburg, he can just warm it for a little bit. And just because you always have to put a shit goalkeeper down there, or a low cost one.
Mm.
Gary Cahill, he's not going to do anything once again, but I want to get another ex-Chelsea boy on there. And he's been doing all right. So I'm happy for Gary.
Happy for Gary.
And McTominay, just to piss off Sam.
Thank you, Paul. I hope that team does well for you.
It's inspired me to completely overhaul the rest of my squad based on that.
Well, that's good. It's had a positive effect. Let's move on to our teams then, what changes we've made. We've all done our wildcards, so unfortunately we cannot rip up our teams. But I think we're all in a pretty happy place at the moment, by the sounds of it. Dave, what changes have you made?
I've just made one transfer. I've brought Callum Wilson in for Ayew. So Ayew's out.
That's Wilson's an upgrade. In.
It is, yeah. I had a bit of money in the bank still. So
was that your only transfer?
Yeah,
that's
think
a lot
so.
Of money you must have had kicking around.
Yeah. I'm not sure why that was, but anyway.
Just down the back.
It's probably from, in fact, I know what it is now. It's from selling De Bruyne and bringing in Mount, I think. Because there'd have been quite a bit of price difference there, wouldn't there?
About 2 million or so.
Yeah. Which is good because now I will probably be, I reckon I'll be playing 3 up front as I'm going to drop Cantwell. As he's injured and Norwich are having a nightmare now, partly due to injuries, I think, as well.
Mm. Yeah, Callum Wilson's just been phenomenal. I'm just looking at his stats this season.
I was tempted to put him in my team for this week.
They're good, aren't they? Yeah. 5 goals so far.
So like Arsenal last weekend was the first time he hasn't scored more than, well, that yeah, he hasn't scored more than 2 points. So the previous times he's got like 5 points a bunch of times, 7, 6, 13.
Good luck. He's a great striker. Everyone knows what he's capable of. He doesn't have the most shots though. He's not up there with some of the top shot takers in the league. But when he does, he scores. Like, so... But yeah, 5 and 8. His big chance conversions pretty high. I think it's like 50% or something like that. So it puts him away.
3 assists too.
Yeah, 3 assists.
Sorry. Right.
So I mean, Norwich this weekend for me, I feel like Bournemouth stand a pretty good chance there.
Yeah. So is that your one change?
Yeah, that's my one change. I've messed around with the formation a bit. Like I said, Peters for Burnley looks like he's injured potentially. So I might bring Rico in as well. And assume that Bournemouth are going to keep it strong at the back and Rico plays. So it'll be 3 at the back, Rico, Van Dijk and Walker. I've got Pope in goal, but and then McTominay, Sterling, Mount and Mane in midfield. And Wilson, Abraham and Firmino up front. So the team's starting to look a bit like, probably a bit like a lot of teams now in Fantasy League, where they're like, you're starting to identify these players that are going to score points consistently week in, week out.
Mm.
The big question is, who do you captain? Which was a big question last game week. Me and Sam were umming and ahhing over Sterling, which is Sterling or Abraham or Mane. Unfortunately, didn't pick Mane, which would have been what you did. A points fest.
Yes. So you're going to go with this week, do you know?
At the moment, I've got Abraham down, but it's again, they're Chelsea playing Newcastle, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm. Newcastle
on paper, it's one of those again. It's like we looked at the Manchester United Newcastle game. We go on paper, you go, oh yeah, I expect they'll do well against them. But
I've got two Chelsea players in my team, but I'm not captaining either of them just because Newcastle seem to only be able to turn up against top six sides at the moment.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Spurs, Man United.
Yeah, but it's Spurs and Man United, isn't it?
Yeah, but Chelsea, they haven't had been consistently excellent. You know, they're not the same. They might be within touching distance of Man City, but they're certainly not. I wouldn't put them in the same bracket.
No,
I think that they have had a few wavering moments. Obviously, they got smashed by United first day of the season.
This is at the bridge, innit? I think it'll be 4-0 to Chelsea.
Heavy.
I know.
I think it'll be some goals from Newcastle too.
No, probably not, if I'm being realistic.
I should be generous.
In my team, I've only made one change as well. I brought in Madison, who had a solid last week against Liverpool, even though they lost. He got 7 points. He's got 2 goals now in 3 games. Plenty of value in that. He's quite cheap as well. He's only, well, when I got
7.2.
him. 7.2. He's 7.2 now, but when I got him, he was 7.1. So
he's a really, really good player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he was an upgrade for me as well because I had 1.1 knocking about.
And they've got Burnley this weekend, haven't they?
Yeah, they've got a good run of fixtures coming up, I think, Leicester, which is what tempted me. And yeah, Burnley at home, and then Southampton, Crystal Palace, Brighton, Everton, Watford, Aston Villa, and Norwich. They've got loads of. There's only Arsenal in amongst that. That's a little bit of a tricky fixture.
Like, good shout, that. Have you got any other Leicester players? Because like, my team, I've taken all my. I haven't got any Leicester players.
I've got Siyunku as well because Siyunku is dirt cheap.
Is he on your bench?
Yeah, he's usually knocking about, but he's gone to 4.7 now. But I think I got him when he was 4.5, and 4.5 for a defender who's potentially going to be a defender in the top six side this season. You know, it's hard to see Leicester falling out of that, especially by Christmas. You know, you look at that fixture list. As long as they don't completely fall apart, they've been really good so far this season. So I've got two in there. Yeah, I'll go through the others in my team just so you've got it on. Pope in goal as well as you. Can't resist Pope. Tomori, Alexander Arnold, Otamendi in defence. Madison, Mane, Guendouzi and De Bruyne in midfield. And then Haller, Abraham and Aguero in attack. Aguero's my captain.
Haller's a good shout, actually, against Everton.
He was in my very first fantasy football team incarnation as well.
No, I'm still not aboard the Haller train.
Let's see how he gets on this weekend.
He scored at the weekend.
So?
I think he's great. I think you're wrong.
I think he's a nice player. I don't think he's a decent fantasy football asset.
I haven't been unimpressed with him at West Ham.
No.
You know, he's not been bad. So he's sticking in there. He's a bit pricey. Well, not massively pricey, but 7.4. He is an IU price who you've got in your team who racks up.
IU's 5 million as well, man.
I know, racking up those points on as your third sub.
Jordan.
So go on then. Who's in your team? You made any changes?
I've made one change so far. I have taken out Zinchenko, finally. I don't trust him. I don't trust Pep and I don't trust Zinchenko.
Trust issues with this Man City team.
So I've put Soyuncu in from Leicester. Again, you know, just similar reasons, or exactly the same reasons, actually, Miles, as you just stated. So that's done and dusted. I am toying with one more 4-point loss transfer, which will be taking Cantwell out and bringing James Maddison in.
Get him in.
Everyone's getting on Madison, don't get him in.
What does 4 points do if it takes off Sam's?
I'm still top. I'm still top.
Oh, God, yeah.
18 so, points adrift.
Yeah, you've got it. You can burn it. And that, I'm in a nice place there, I feel. So I would then have a team of Heaton, although he's yellow at the moment, but he'll play. Brighton, it's against Brighton. Easy. Soyuncu against Burnley. Brilliant. Maguire, we'll see about that. So he may very well be getting shipped out in the next few weeks. Matip is down his yellow, but I know he's back in training. And as Neil Jones has said to us, it's his shirt to lose at the moment. And then Sterling, Mane, De Bruyne is listed as yellow, but it'd be fine. Mount. And then I've got Cantwell, and I'm just not getting it from Norwich. They've stopped scoring, which was the only reason you had them in your fantasy team, because you think, well, all right, they're crap in defence. They're going to lose loads of matches, but they'll you know, maybe 1 or 2 goals a game. That's not happening. But then they had the gall to go and score 1 against Villa when they were 5-0 down, destroying Heaton's clean sheet. And it wasn't even Cantwell. Shithouses.
Yeah.
So that is very unfortunate for young Todd that he's going to be cast aside from my squad. And then I've got Tammy up front and Callum Wilson. Again, Tammy against Abraham against Newcastle. There's goals there. And Callum Wilson against Norwich. I mean, I don't know if you studied the defence, Norwich's defence against Villa. It was dreadful. Beyond dreadful.
All I know is they've conceded the most goals in the Premier League. Like, they've conceded 21 goals of Norwich this season.
Yeah, so. Honestly, like Fulham, Derby, when they got 11 points, would be embarrassed with that defending. It was shocking. Mm-hmm. So Callum Wilson, Harry Wilson behind him, Josh King as well.
They Josh King's have, a good shout because he takes penalties as well for Bournemouth.
He's only six in a bit as well, but they should be having an absolute field day against Norwich. They are that bad. And they've still got all their injuries. That's not changing. And then my boys on the bench, my golden trio of Lundstrom, Kelly and Ayew, who are admittedly are playing Arsenal and City. So I don't think there's going to be that many points coming, but I don't need
I don't think Arsenal are guaranteed a victory against Sheffield United. I think Sheffield United have proved this season that they're not pretty difficult side to brush to one
they're
side.
They're not a Norwich in defence, are they?
No.
I mean, we're talking about these Norwich injuries, and they didn't have that many injuries at the start of the season, and Liverpool looked like smashing in double figures against them.
Oh, yeah, but they could attack.
Oh, yeah.
And now they've seemingly have lost that, completely lost that ability as well. But I think, you know, the idea of captaining a Liverpool or City player this season, this game week, just I can't get on board with that. So it's going to be Abraham or Wilson, and I think I'm going to go Wilson.
That would put the cat among the pigeons. Mm. I think. I don't think I would go for Wilson. Hard with your captain. You always just want to go with somebody who it's got to be like a big team player almost. You know, I'd find it hard to captain a Bournemouth player.
I seem to remember like in the second game week, I remember seeing someone captain Pookie, and I remember thinking that's mad. And then obviously smashed it.
If you play it well, fair play. Absolutely dream. But
there's a thin line between bravery and stupidity. Let's wrap this up then. Dave, Sam, Paul, thank you very much for joining us today.
Pleasure.
Listeners, you can get in touch by tweeting your fantasy football thoughts with the hashtag UKFFS. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, follow on Spotify, or however you listen to podcasts on your favourite platform. Leave a review if you liked it, and if you didn't, what are you still doing here? Check out Goal for your daily dose of football news from the Premier League and around the world. Thanks for listening.